And the way that these classifications here relate to those is that what is called characteristics here, as well as what is called complete purity, relate to the perfectly existent aspect in its changelessness. The reason being that characteristics refer to that reality which is free of self-entity, and complete purity refers to cessation, both of these being changeless, both of these being referring to the changeless reality, that is to say, the perfectly existent changelessness. On the other hand, the other two, given given characteristics and complete purity, given these two aspects of suchness, these are classifications of the perfectly existent aspect, because if one were to summarize them, they would be summarized under the perfectly existent aspect. So it's, as it were, since it is from out of this perfectly existent aspect that they have been classified in the first place, then in drawing them back in together, then they would fall back into that perfectly existent aspect again. They would fall in under that again, since that's the place from which they were, from which the classification was made in the first place.
Yanda drupa te yinye de lamdeen rava.
No.
Ti nye de karin dogre. Ti nye de chu tamche namrek zan do kong do chupa ham tokpa tang. Yang tapa drupa, yanda drupa lam ni yondo karin dogre. Ngubu ne lok sinche malo par ngubu ton lam. Ngubu ton lam sinche malo ban jukpa sena sinche malo ban yondo bin dogre. Oh yeah.
Yanda
drupa te yin 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 chu jin. Si sinje malo bayon rob ji yewa yin te ngupu ton la sinje malo paran jo bese.
So then if we put this, the next aspect, which is the aspect of the perfectly existent, which is called infallible, we put that, the reasoning here, into a syllogism as this infallible perfectly existent aspect relates to these two classifications of suchness called suchness of awareness, which involves the fact that all phenomena are understood as being merely awareness, and perfect practice, which refers to the truth of the path. So if we put all this into syllogistic form, it comes out as follows. Given the suchness of awareness and correct practice, these are classified with respect to that perfectly existent aspect which is infallible, because it is through them that one engages in the meaning of things in an infallible or unmistaken way.
Number repeat yin yi, the yanda, drupate yin yi, yite, sinja malo beyond of ye, yeva yin bartembare.
For the reason that they enable engagement in an infallible way in the meaning of things, the suchness of awareness and the suchness of correct practice are presented as being classifications of the perfectly existent aspect, which is infallible. So then this was the brief explanation of the precise nature of the classification. So which number one calls this depends on which way you're looking at the outline. So that in one way of looking at the outline for the text, it's the seventh point. If you're looking at that as the expanded explanation of the eightfold classification, which is the third point, third main point of the outline. So there's an eightfold classification, and this is the seventh point among those. Whereas if you take the outline as a whole, it's the ninth point. So now we need to do the chanting meditation.
So
while we are doing the chanting, then what should we be thinking about? We should be thinking through the meaning of these seven classifications of suchness, and we should also be thinking about how these seven relate to the three essential natures. We must reflect over the way this sevenfold classification of suchnesses, or the seven types of suchness, how they relate to the complete imputed aspect, the dependent aspect, and the perfect perfectly existent aspect.
Dode go na na ba ni e ba da ni e ba du e ni na ba re da da ya na ro ba e
So then, are there any questions? Dodogdan Kurdepi Chikola, Tene Semchen Mongchiwa, Dodog Jotape Tal, Negi Mago,
Semchen Mongchiwa Dodog Paris,
Dodog Tal, Tene Kurdepi Tal, Kurdepi Tal, Tawe Semchen Yorebe.
अरे मांग चेवा ढोंढो कंठाले नया पारे कुंडेप जंठाले नया चोटी हो रहे थे पैना नया चोटी चेंदे देंबर कोरवा चेंदे देंबर चोपन जेना ढोंढो पारे चेवा घाव से मैं पान जेना कुलपन दे पारे तेन ड्राइवर नया चोटी हो रहे चेवा चेवा समा
ना
चेंदे देंबर ड्रो जेना गांडा ढोंढो था
Yes, so the question was then in relation to exaggeration and denial, the exaggeration of the dualistic appearance as truly existent and the denial of its existence relatively. Is it the case that most beings fall into the first category of exaggeration, and are there any beings who fall into the exaggeration, into the extreme of denial, and if so, what will be an example of that? So the answer was that it's true that most beings do fall into the view of the exaggeration, but the one way in which beings perceive things in a way involving this denial would be that while taking this life to be truly existent and entertaining the exaggeration, they at the same time might take the next life as not existent.
Tatar Janama did take a chimpy lola, Nando Yemi, Malam Daure. Inayan Tatar Nama, the Demba Trondong, as is some guire, the Dondo Catawa, the Nepare. Tatar Janama, the me, Sambe, Conde Jetava, Chirio Mara. Marva? Chigamar.
Chigamar.
Chigio Mara. Tatar Janama, the Demba, the Sambe, Dondo Jetava. Rondo Jetawa, the Negre. Tanda Janama de Yomare Sampe, Kunda Jetavati, Yiriyoma.
If this is related to present appearances, it is taught that it's taught in the Mahayana that present appearances are the inseparability of appearance and emptiness, like a dream. However, we do tend to continue assigning true existence to the present appearances, and in this way have the view of exaggeration related to present appearances, whereas we do not fall into the extreme of denying present present appearances and claiming that they don't exist.
Then they said that now and that denbar mebar, you know, said that now and that denbar mebar, denbar madobe sena tanyi sanda yang yo mare sana, then they condemned it our labor.
So these present appearances are not truly existent, and to assign them true existence would be the extreme of exaggeration.
Tene tanda chende nawa de denbar mado nayan thani to nang sando kunzok nang sando yore nang sando meba yang mare yore ti sena tene chende nawa de nang dong yeme nang kin tongba tong kin nawa nang dong yeme pare ha.
So, if one were to deny the relative appearance of these phenomena, then this would be a negation of the nature of these, since they are appearance, which does not have true existence. So, in appearing without truly existing, that is what is called appearance and emptiness. The inseparability of appearance and emptiness, which is the correct way of understanding them. And in this, these same two views of exaggeration and denial and the way of understanding how they function should be applied to all other phenomena, any sort of phenomena. Oh yeah. So if we relate this to our own suffering, thinking that one's own suffering exists in this true fashion, or exists as something true, would be the exaggeration, and to think that it didn't even exist as an appearance would be the denial. However, with relation to suffering, it's the extreme of exaggeration we fall into. It would be very difficult to get the idea of the suffering is not even appearing relatively. With respect to both suffering and afflicted emotions, it is the view of exaggeration that is entertained with respect to these. That's what we give rise to in thinking suffering and afflicted emotions have true existence, whereas one is not inclined to deny their existence relatively. So it's the explanation of exaggeration. One has to understand how this exaggeration functions with respect to suffering and
afflictive
shuching kar chenpo la songpa re, te kar chenpo re, ne kar chenpo re. Te yin yin dun ji jie pa se, te tang chun ta ye pa re, ina yan te yin yin dun songpa ra ba. Te yin yin dun te kar chenpo re.
So in general, the teachings of Dharma are limitless, but among the many teachings, these classifications of the seven types of suchness are extremely significant. In order to exist in any way, it has to be permanent and unchanging? So the question is, what is meant by, in using term existing relatively, how does one mean that? Because the way you're thinking of it, in using a term like existence, you would mean something which exists permanently and truly. So the problem is using the word existence together with the term relative. I see.
Teacups.
They man with your. Yeah.
Yupa Sena, Taneji Yupa, Tang,
Denbari Yupa.
Denbari Yupa. Tene, Morangla, Taneji Yupa, De Sikaligapore, Kayan Sen in Moisambala, Yupa Sena. Takpa dang jurme pa gogire. Tene taneji yopa te kandre re. Te kandre hago gogire.
Tani du yopa te tani nang sam du yopa. Nang sam du maloba yopa. Tene sikire.
Yeah, in this case, in talking about relative or conventional existence, what it means is that it is something existing as a mere appearance.
Pena donga donga demba troba yo mare donga jurve chichin kichi mayimba sena donga demba troba yo mare donga matapa kichi mayimba sena donga demba troba yo mare yina yang nang sandu yore nang sandu donga nyungre.
If one
nang sandu yoba tani du yoba kunzob du yoba
in relation to suffering, then one cannot say that suffering truly exists. Why? Because it changes. At this point, one has to remember, in using this word true existence, the property of truth as applied to existence would mean that it would have to be something unchanging. Truly in that way, that was what it is. That is isness, and it can't change, right? Whereas that's not the way suffering is. It changes instant by instant. And so then, nevertheless, one experiences suffering, it exists somehow, right? So how does it exist? It exists as a mere appearance. It exists as the object of the confused mind. It is a confused idea. It exists conventionally. It exists exists from the point of view of the deluded concept.
Pena malam to data, dala tempe donga, yin la tempe donga yite, demba yo mare, malanje data yin madrobesena, donga yang madrobere, demba yo mare. Yina yang, malang mo my hippa capsule, donga musinu sena, nang sando,
Nangsan do yore, Tanyi do yore, Namdon Tripung o yore. Namdon Tripung o yore, but the Tanyi do yore. Tanyi do malam di dong a yore. Kunzup do yore.
So in relation to a dreaming about an enemy, then one cannot say there that the, I mean it's obvious in the dream that the enemy doesn't exist. There is no true existence of this enemy, and therefore the suffering deriving from the enemy in the dream would also not have any existence, any true existence. Nevertheless, there is this appearance of the enemy and the experience of suffering due to that appearance. So there is a relative appearance. There is what would be called then the conventional appearance of the enemy and the suffering. And to what does that appear? It appears to the deluded concept. It is the object experienced by the deluded concept, which even though the enemy and the suffering are not truly existing, their appearance exists relative to that deluded concept. So then, in our waking experience throughout life, we have the suffering of enemies and friends. Whereas the enemies and friends do not really exist, and not have true existence. Then why do they not have true existence? Because there is this constant change. so since the enemies and friends do not exist in an unchanging way, one cannot assign them true existence as property. However, because in not understanding their true nature, one has the direct experience of suffering connected with friends and enemies. So this is what is referred to as the the relatively or conventionally existent suffering. And this this type of suffering, which is experienced directly in a relative sense, relative to friends and enemies, it doesn't need much explanation. This we experience.
Tambeton do donga madop chang, tambeton ha kosong tong
tambeton.
Tambeton do donga madop chang, dembar ikemba ikembe donga chipay.
Even though suffering does not exist in genuine reality, through attaching to it as real, through assuming it to be true, suffering is created.
Devarndepe dongam pravarsi. Devarndepe dongam pravarsi.
Through
Devarndepe latinte dongam pravarsi. Devarndepe dongam pravarsi.
Through wanting happiness, suffering is created.
Deser, donga tamche tokpeese. Deser, donga tamche tokpeese. Nam tokese par.
That therefore, all sufferings are creations of one's concepts.
Yeah.
Yeah, in an unpremeditated way, it happens by itself.
Mm-hmm.
You start assigning names to it.
Right. Right.
Okay. So then the question is? What are we talking about? Shemong is before words.
That's what I'm getting
at. Okay. Okay.
So then my question is that if that's true, and why is that true? Why is it that a verbal language or a non-verbal language is what seems to be that which is the domain of Shemong, and that you're getting to
a non-verbal language? Okay, okay. So to try to reword the question for the tape.
Tape look over here.
So the question seems to relate mainly to the kuntak, right? in the sense of how does language function here. So the question is about the relationship between kuntak and shenmong as this relates to the process of consciousness and language. What aspect of mind connects the shenmong and kuntak? I'll try to put it in some way or other. I'm not exactly clear, but let's try. Kuntak dang shenmong ji blelwa kare. And so I asked, what is the connection between Kuntaka Shingon? So it's a question of how does the suffering arise, or how does Kuntaka and Shenwong function together in such a way that suffering arises, and how does this relate to the process of thought itself as separate from the process of language, or the process of consciousness itself as distinct from the process of language. Yeah. Tene drachik nangdu drawachik nangwe kapsu
drawu nangwe kapsu
tene drawu drawu namba te shenwang re te de la sik dang jagi mare de sik sigi ngun la
mengi ngun la
mengi ngun la
meng dan tani ju ngun la hoya
re tene de shenwang re tene kun ta te ming tak pa re
ming tak pa re
you know shenwang de yang nam re kre Tani di yang nam tok le jung male. Tene kuntak di yang nam tok le de. Kain sena ming tapu chedu ming tapu nam tok go gede. Tene shenwang dang kuntak nika nam tok go Tene chepa ngane karare. Nika nam toki na tene nika nam reki re. Tene chepa
ngane. Re kunda te kasan kebarawa. Kunda te nam toka takpa yorte. Ta seje te nam toka takpa tuenda re. Nam Tazi the Namdok Takpare, Namdok Takpe, Namdok Takpe, Mengdan de the Takwe Yotela, Chitela, Kunda Sigre. Namdo de Koran, Kunda Sena, Dozi, Lotela, Namdo Serva. Ben a Dorte, Kundare, Karekatagres, and a Drunzing, Doros, and Namdo de Takpare.
All right, any Drew. Rose in the Namdo Dishemongre, you know,
take a tapare.
In the young
Dishemongre. Rose and the Namdo te, Yemare, Namdo take a daughter pa taparawa. Rose and the Namdo tapare. In a kunda, the Namdo tapa sena, same yin the trova yomare, kunda lang o me barawa, kunda ngo ni me barre. Settle the damba trova yomare.
They didn't nam toki chari.
Namdo ke takpare se.
So the way the I ended up asking the question was, what's the connection between Kuntaka and Shenwong as the in terms of concept, since they both seem to come out being concept, and concept is awareness. So they both seem to come out being awareness. And then, in that case, they would both be Shenwong. So what's the difference? Is that close to what you were saying? Okay. So then the answer was that, so the actual image of the enemy or the snake appearing is the Shenmong, and that is pre-verbal, that is prior to the name, and that is the dependent aspect arising due to the tendencies in the mind and so on. So it's dependent on the tendencies in the mind, the arising of this actual image prior to the assignment of the name. So then kunta, the imputed aspect is what? It is that which is the referent for the imputation of the name in the sense that it is the assignment of the name. It is the process of assigning the name to the appearance. So there is this, and this is where it gets tricky, because there's the concept perceiving enemy is the Shenmong, whereas the concept applying the concept imputing the name enemy is the kunta, is the dependent aspect, sorry, the imputed aspect. So what is it that imputes the concept which imputes the name enemy is also the imputed aspect. And this imputed aspect does not exist somewhere outside. There is no existence of the completely imputed aspect. It is a mere conceptual imputation. So it doesn't exist anywhere except as the conceptual imputation. Whereas the image exists as an appearance, as if it were outside, dependent on the tendency of the mind to take it that way. Okay?
They say na pen na drawo ming ma ta pen ngoy ni drawo nang san pi ro wa. Drawo nang ming ta pi ye, drawo zog nang san de malang di kap so ni mo drawo drawo pa cha Kunjali Yakpala Tina Pakyaka Topje, Pakyaka Namare, Pakyaka Semnang Yibesena, didn't they give one the other, Pakyaka Nam? Tatela draws on the main part of Bachani, Tinikodare.
So then, the appearance of the enemy in the dream is what? It is something which is prior to the attachment of names and is dependent on the tendency towards perceiving enemies during the daytime. So dependent on the perception of enemy during the daytime, then this due to the dependent on that tendency, there is this appearance in the dream as an image of an enemy before the name enemy has been put on. So that is the dependent aspect. Then the thought, oh, this is an enemy in which the name is actually put on to that image, is then the imputed aspect.
Dina Dravin Namalam the Dravin Nambate Semtambalola Nambate Same the number, same the driver zog the number cover.
So in
the number second, same sample. Sir, the yomar, same the number. Number tell at any mean dakare. Dower is an anandoka tadu, dower can be chanted.
So that image of the phenomenon appearing, in this case, enemy. In the Chitta Matra is explained as being an aspect of the mind or a manifestation of the mind not having external existence or objective existence. It is appearing due to the tendency within the mind and as a manifestation of that mental content. So the independence on that tendency arises, therefore called the dependent aspect, and takes that which is has that form of the enemy. Whereas then that serves as the basis for the imputation of the name. That dependent aspect serves as the basis of the imputation for putting on the name. And so then the actual putting on of the name is then.
Okay. Tene Saja Chempe Lola Tele Keta Teza Kaka Goyere, Karesena, Ransar, Ranrik, Ranrik Tang, Ranrik Sar Nire, Ransong Yehi Tang, Ransong Yehi Sar Nire, Ransong Yehi the Dishing in Buddha Chikwarawa, Ransong Yehi Tang, Ransong Yehi, Pena Hedola, Nemeser Pona, who is in Jason Yubre. Take
it, Sido. Cheto.
Cheto.
Oh, cheto.
Na na da da sampe nam to chigre ramzon yiki je tarte ramzon yiki je taram o esar je tarte tar yin bar mo ma kine tene yin do zon are de sena sakin tar de sena da bi nam ba de ramzon yiki je tarre tar pe mo ma kine tene da 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 wo sa na kuda de bare sa de tem butana de no go Kainsena Saja Chenpo Tadda Khe Na Tene Sapo Yungare.
So this becomes more clear if one explains it from the point of view of the Mahamudra explanation. Because the way it's explained in the Mahamudra, then the there are two aspects, one called the Rangzung Yeshe, the self-arising original wisdom, the other one called the clarity of that original wisdom. So the self-arising original wisdom itself is the Buddha nature, which is compared to a crystal. And the clarity aspect of that is compared to the when the light is reflected off of the crystal and then appears in the form of a rainbow. So then the delusion would then consist in not recognizing that the self-arising original wisdom is that wisdom and confusing it to be an I. So that is where one gets self. One takes that as being a self. And the clarity aspect of the light projected off of the crystal is then taken to be other. So in not recognizing that it is the clarity aspect of the mind, one thinks it's the image of an enemy. So that's the way this is explained in the Mahamudra.
Tiyan sakhi malane, ranzong doti sakhi malane yorawa, yo ma nyongwa ranang yordantro. Yo ma nyongwa. Yo ma nyongwa ranang yordantro. Ranang de wa sati ranang. Yo manyong wa ranang yordan ro. Sir the yo manyong be ranang la yordan ro. Marek wanga ranrek da dan ro. Marek pa mato ba wanga ranrek ranzong ke yeki la da dan ro. Nin zen wanga sipa long da cham. Tene yordan da dakto ta yendo nisun. Niso chite nin zen je wanga sipa long. Sipa kamsong korwa long.
So in the Mahamudra prayer by the third Karmapa, Rangzung Dorje, there is a verse saying, of what has never existed, the self-appearance is taken to be other. So that refers to the projected clarity or the rainbow as the light which is projected out and is taken as other, in that one takes it as existing outside. So the verse says that which has never existed is taken to be other, and that is something which appears by itself. So nyuman yongwa rangnang yuldutru, that which has never existed, the self-appearance, that which appears by itself is confused as being an object. And the awareness itself is confused as being a self. So that refers to the consciousness itself, the mind itself, what before Rinpoche was calling the self-arising original wisdom, which is taken to be a self. And then, due to this dualistic clinging of thinking that there is an other as an object existing separately, and a self which is distinct from the awareness, then one wanders in cyclic existence. Then the final line of the verse says, may we cut the root of ignorance. May this delusion be cut off by the root.
Tundu jere. Then sentam belok sena tanda drabi namba. Drabi malam da drabi namba yorawa. Te sem de pakya katop de namare. Pakya katop de namare. Te la namba segendo. Sentambalola Sarul Ton the Tropa Yo Mara Namba Yore Namba Tela Sarul the Chambare. Malam Nai.
So the way it's explained then in the Chitta Matrin is the appearance itself is called the Nampa, which means image. And that image appears how? In dependence on the habitual tendencies in the mind. And does not have outer existence. It is this projection of mental content not having distinct, objective, separate outer existence as in a dream, as the objects appearing in a dream.
In the same time, the Lord Giga said, Tanda Nama Na Sokwande, Sarul the Damba Yamare, Malam Gin the same Janabare. Malam the Nama Na Sokwakarate, Sarul the Yamare, same Janabakarate. Namba Tele Sarul the
So then all of the phenomena which appear in, all of the appearances which appear, which occur in dreams are images, these projected images having no outer existence. However, one does in the dream take them as existing outerly and has this type of attachment. And similarly, for any presently appearing phenomenon around us, they are mere images of the mind. They do not exist outwardly and separately. However, in the same way as in the dream, we take them to be truly existent.
Namba sijit the kande segrisena sarur mepa nambate. Pena naso kabet se ye remo norban dawa de la jinum butte de. Tene lamsa make from dena make from de pacabs or tambo sarpo yomar tene kale remote sarpuka yungre. But then dawa la namba segrisare. Karasena sarur jizog and tongamare same jangola namba chichagre. Norban namba.
So then
tenda waha ko na tene namba semna namba kande sikhara waha ko.
So then to explain this process of images arising in the mind due to a tendency in for example, if one stares at the corner up there where where a jewel has been painted, then in staring at it for a while, then closing one's eyes, then at first one doesn't see anything, but then slowly the image of that jewel forms in the mind. So this is an example of how images arise in the mind due to tendencies. So to try to explain in some way how does an appearance in the dream come based on what was experienced during the day as an image of that. It's very clear if one thinks about how any image would arise in the mind, such as the image of a jewel which one has been staring at for a while, if one then closes one's eyes, its image appears in the mind. And in the same way, based on appearances during the day, then the image of them appears in the dream at night, and even though they are nothing but the echo or the image, they are taken as having outer existence and true existence. So the actual arising of that image in the mind does not require names. So at that point, at the actual arising of it, it's not a jewel arising in the mind, it's an image. So the actual image of that can arise in the mind without needing any names. Since that image arises due to the tendency stored in the mind, it is called the dependent aspect. And then when one goes and puts on the name and says that image is a jewel, then one has gotten into the imputed aspect. So the real problem here is that in terms of the nitty and gritty of experience, we confuse the two aspects and take them as being the same. So in actual fact, the image as such is separate and serves as the basis for the imputation of the name. And what arises at the instant of the arising of the image is not a jewel. It is just the image, and serves as the basis for the imputation of the name jewel. And these two are separate. However, in terms of experience, we confuse them as being the same.
During the day, if you see this
So the question is, why do we seemingly take things to be more real during the day than we do in dreams? And and what was the second one? How can we come to, or does one through practice then come to see the appearances of the daytime as being dreamlike? Yeah. Tene, nimar chupe nangwa te denshure.
Denbare.
Denshure. Te milamji nangwa le denbare.
Oh, yeah.
Denshure. Pena nimola drul tongdu, tene drul di shedwa denbare, shedwa nene re.
Nimo
shedwa jipo dung. Gom drupe wangi.
Gom japa wangi.
Gom japa wangi. Natsu rimji rimji nimu nangwa milamji nangwa drao tom tukilebe.
Ema ho. Se dugre. Gom japa jaman sende nawande korwa malam taba togare sende malam taba togare tene.
Yes, that's wonderful. Through meditation practice, then one will be able to come to understand that this samsaric existence is not is like a dream, and that all the appearances that occur are like dreams. And in seeing that, then no suffering will be able to affect us. There will be no suffering occurring.
Tene malamdo to sa dor jigo chonga do sa
de
malam je na wa de so ni me pa kha le ten ba re ni mo de chero nga me pa kha le ten ba re pa kha to che chonga che ba yo re ni me na wa de je wa nga me pa kha chok kin bo yo re ti se na to che ge re Same pak malam de nimu pakha la to ten bare pakha te se chuk chung re pakha to se chuk che chung wang ga yang yung re
raba
now
so the reason why the snake in the daytime seems to have more solidity than the dream snake is due to the source of the tendencies in both cases. So the source of the tendency to see the snake in the dream is the experience during the daytime. And the source of the tendency to see the snake during the daytime is the tendencies deriving from seeing snakes in previous lives. And that seeing of snake in previous lives during the daytime of those previous lives was that creates a stronger tendency than the seeing of snakes during the daytime. Which then comes up as an image of a snake during the dream.
Then daore tene gom jabte tende namande malam ngo shi patab joma malam tab to na tene donga yo mare te karchen par.
However, through the meditation practice, what precisely happens is that one would be able to see the appearances that one experiences as being illusory and dreamlike, and in this case there will be no suffering. And this is the important point. So Milarepa in one of his songs says, So Milarepa in this song says, I see this life as being like a dream. Towards those who have not understood it, I have great compassion. We should do the same. We should see this life as being illusory and dreamlike, and towards those sentient beings who have, by the power of their delusion, not seen that it's illusory and dreamlike, we should meditate on compassion. How low we can go? Low. Oh, low. Oh, sorry. Low. Yeah. So the question is, the Tibetan word low, which usually is translated as intellect, does that go under, does it go under, what is it? Does that is that classified under primary conscious mind or under mental derivatives, so mental factors? Tene lo ti
lo
lo palata lana lo
lo lo sem
sem re
oh yeah
de de so sem am sem sem zung rebe
lo rekpa hepa som tik som re lo rekpa hepa som De sem chi ming re.
Sem chi ming.
Sem, sem.
De so sem
lo rekpa hepa.
De so sem dang sem jung la jag gul ma re.
So sem sem so sem chi ming re.
Now.
Do de pa tang se ra ma ve lo la sem chi ming re. Duen da chik pa re. Ming ka ga re.
So this is actually a term which, as it's used in the Vaibhashika and Sautantrika traditions, is a term, a general term for mind. And there are three of them, lo, rigpa, and shepa. Lo being translated as intellect, rigpa as awareness, shepa as consciousness. All three of those terms, as they're used in the Sautantrika and Vaibhashika systems, are a general name for mind, without this being related to this classification in terms of primary mind and mental factors.
Tene tela so sem ta sem zong gi yeba zong re. Lo ta re pa ke pa sem ki ming re tene yeba se so sem ta sem zong gi yeba.
So then it is the classification of those which then gives this further division into primary mind and mental derivatives. So in classifying intellect, awareness, or consciousness further, then one would get the subdivisions of primary mind and mental factors.
Yang sem dang ye dang nam chi song yu. Sem ye nam chi song. Sem ye nam chi ki tek song yu. Di song de sem ye nam chi song de se ra ma wa dan do de below la dren da chi kwa de sem ji ming de.
De yang chi chang yu.
Re re. Sem ye nam chi song.
So there, we could also say there are also three other terms, sem, yi, Nyi and Namshe, where we start getting into the difficulties with finding English equivalents. Sam usually translates as mind, yi, mental faculty, and Namshe.
Sam yi, Namshe song.
And Namshe again is consciousness, right? So mind, mental faculty, and consciousness, these three also in the Vaibhashika and Satyanaka traditions are a general name for mind. In the Chittamatra and Shentong Madhyamaka, it's different. The way of classifying is different. Mind, sim, relates to all-based consciousness, kunshi namshe. Yi, mental faculty, relates to the afflicted mind, the afflicted mental faculty. And namshe, consciousness, relates to the sixfold collection of consciousnesses, the five sensory and the mental consciousness.
Tene yang saja chenpi lok tato se na, semla ngobo tongpa rangyin sarva napa ngami som jagare.
Hakusong.
Ngobo tongpa chani sem, rangyin sarva chani ye, gakpa mebe chani nam shisi gakpa yang yare. Saja chenpi lok.
So in the Mahamudra tradition then also is different. Sim, mind, refers to the essence which is empty. Sim, ngo tongpa sim, ngo tongpa sim. And the term yi relates to the clear nature. So that nature which is clarity is the yi, the mental faculty. Magakpa
Gakpa Mepa.
Gakpa Mepa Namshe.
Yeah.
And consciousness there is the aspect which is called unhindered.
Dundun Jokwa Yere De Deleyang Tseke. Tseke He Tsoji Tseba Yere Yungre.
So in this way then, relating these to the different Buddhist schools, then one can see that the ways of the defining the terms themselves are different.
Jetang sem je dra te ya sakin je lo la ya sem je ne lo lan ju pa kap ye re sam sa tan dam je kap so sem je ne lo lan ju pa kap ye re kun so je kap so kun so je sem lan ju pa kap ye re sem je dra te ju thon dam da so re
sa je chim bula
sa je chim bula.
So in the Mahamudra tradition then also there is a difference in the way the term mind is used in dependence on whether it's referring to the level of genuine reality in which it refers to the nature of the mind, the fundamental state, and if it's being used in the context of the relative level, then it refers to mind in a relative sense. Tene kunsopchi kapsa, kunsop kapsa, and sem
kunsopchisem, turbisem.
Turbisem, yeah. So in the Mahamudra, then, in a relative context, the term sem, mind, would refer to the confused mind.
This same Jacob, so same Janza Latembare, young consumed Trupasem.
No. So in the Mahamudra tradition, then, in receiving an instruction such as it is one's own mind which is to be realized, Rangi Sem Toparsa, that would refer to the genuine reality, the nature of the mind, the clear light, luminous nature. Of mind, whereas if in the Mahamudra context, if one hears the instruction, it is one's own mind which is to be purified, then that same term, sem, there would refer to the deluded mind. So in that way, then, there are many ways in which this, these terms are to be understood from different perspectives. So if one becomes very clear about the different perspectives from which these terms are applied, then one will get a very clear understanding of what is meant by genuine reality and relative reality. One will find that then easy to understand. So now we do the chanting meditation. Induction relates to two perspectives, as do continuation and wrong living, whereas characteristics, what is perfectly pure and genuine practice, relate to one alone.
Jogde kona namba ni neba tang ne neba rito. Senyi namba rek tang ta yanda dupa chipo.
The precise nature of induction relates to the two aspects, as do the natures of continuation and wrong living, whereas characteristics, purity, and genuine practice relate to one alone. The precise nature of induction relates to two aspects, as do continuation and wrong living, whereas characteristics, awareness, and purity, as well as genuine practice, relate to one alone.